Brethren, if you want to place a title on the message today, you can title it The Feast of Trumpets Proclaim the Truth. The Feast of Trumpets Proclaim the Truth. Let's begin over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 14 and beginning in verse 1. I had begun a short series in Clarksville and we covered the way. Today I want to cover the truth, particularly focusing on the truth that the Feast of Trumpets proclaim. Just three of the truths. It says here in John chapter 14 verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus Christ said to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This dissertation between Jesus Christ and his disciples had to do with the kingdom of God, had to do with Jesus Christ's return to this earth and the reward that Jesus Christ will bring with him upon his return. Jesus Christ says, "Believe in God the Father, believe also in me." Jesus Christ's return to this earth, brethren, is imminent. It will take place. It will occur. And to be part of the kingdom, we must know that Jesus Christ is the way, that Jesus Christ speaks the truth, that Jesus Christ is the truth. He says very emphatically, "I am the truth." You know, it is difficult at times for us to hold on to the truth, at times to hold on to the hope, the assurity that Jesus Christ will return on the Feast of Trumpets. But it shall occur. And on this day, sometime in the future, Jesus Christ shall return. The saints of God, the first fruits of God, shall be resurrected from death, receive the wonderful reward of eternal life, and be placed into a position, into that office that Jesus Christ is currently in heaven preparing for us. And he shall bring that office with him when he comes. Then we shall begin working with him to teach the world the way of Jesus Christ, to teach the world the truth of Jesus Christ. This is the truth of Scripture. This is the truth of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said himself, "I am the truth." So today on this Feast of Trumpets, let's look a bit closer at three truths, just three truths of Scripture embedded in the meaning of this wonderful day. Three truths. The first truth that I want to cover today is the truth that the Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ's return. The truth of Jesus Christ's return. Shall Jesus Christ actually return to this earth? Do we know that for certain, that it will be the case? Do we know it deep inside of our hearts and our minds? This day marks the day in history of mankind when Jesus Christ will intervene in the affairs of the governments of this world, not just only on this earth, but also in the angelic world. When the trumpet blasts, it will proclaim that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. It says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" How incredible that is. This Greek word for world here is cosmos. It means the universe, the whole adornment, including the earth. As we heard in the beautiful special music, Jesus Christ will come. and he will address the armies and the nations of this world. Jesus Christ shall reign over the universe, including the earth. How desperately do we need that to happen? How desperately do we want that to happen? Are you desperate about that taking place? It is very easy for us to see the crucible of hatred and war and sin on every side. It is easy for us to read the headlines, look at what's happening here in the United States, what's happening around the world, and know that it is all leading up to a very catastrophic, very cataclysmic event in history. This world just cannot continue to escalate forever in its hatred, in its anger, in its rage, in its death, in its war. It just cannot continue on that path. And because this is Satan's world at this time, as God allows, Satan will assure that the most terrible implements of war eventually fall into the hands of the most evil in civilization. And as that happens, as we see the evil of this world unfold, the only hope is the true and sure return of Jesus Christ. That is the only hope. Today it's ISIL. Tomorrow, what shall it be? What shall it be? World War III, or whatever it will be called, will be horribly devastating. There is no implement of war, nuclear or otherwise, that man is not willing to use against another man. So there will come a point in the future history of mankind when, except Jesus Christ's return, no flesh, no man, no people, no civilization or otherwise would survive. Jesus Christ has to return. Go with me over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. You see, the truth of Jesus Christ regarding his return, that it will be hastened by the evils of mankind, is spelled out here in Matthew chapter 24 verse 21. It says here, "For then will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved alive, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." We get a glimpse today, even today, of how quickly the borders of a nation can change because of evil. There will come a time when there is no nation willing to intervene. The faithful have been waiting for these events to take place for over 2,000 years. But clearly there has been no time in history like what we are living in today, where the fate of human life on the face of this earth could be utterly destroyed. Where the methods of mass human annihilation are no longer kept in the secret vaults of powerful nations. But those secrets of human destruction are at one's fingertips over the internet. The methods of building nuclear warfare. The methods of building bombs that maim and destroy at the fingertips of anyone. Where again we face a time in history where the world is divided in identifying and addressing or galvanizing towards evil. What will happen the next go-round? Jeremiah 10 verse 23 states this. It says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Do we know that? We, as the people of God, must understand that. We must understand the truth and the necessity of Jesus Christ's return. You see, the truth of that statement becomes more and more apparent as days, months, and years pass by. the crucible of human annihilation, not just the crucible of war, is closer to reality than ever before. Continue here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. It says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." You see, many at times will begin to proclaim falsely that they are Christ, or they have the power of Christ, to look to them as Christ. Jesus Christ says, be warned. Not only are we challenged to believe the truth of Christ's returns, to take His word for what it says, but there are powers, there are forces in this world guided by the influence of Satan to deceive mankind, to deceive, if possible, the very elect. That someone can, among the elect, can begin to believe that, yes, all we need is another Barack Obama or another whoever it might be to stem the flow of evil. There's going to come a time when Jesus Christ says, it's time. Jesus Christ says in verse 25, says, "See, I have told you beforehand. Don't be deceived. I've told you these things beforehand. Jesus Christ, the truth, have made these things clear. He has told us beforehand, before they occur." Verse 26, "Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." It will occur. It will take place. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will return to this earth. Go with me over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Zechariah Jesus Christ will return on the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Trumpets proclaim that return. Jesus Christ, through the prophet Zechariah, prophesied about this awesome event. Look at these powerful words that are used throughout these verses here. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst." You see, the return of Jesus Christ will take place. Zechariah wrote about that. It will take place. The verse 2, "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east, making a very large valley, from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half towards the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled in the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come." Will come. This shall happen. It shall happen. Don't be deceived. Don't be lulled asleep. Don't keep looking for men to intervene. There will come a time when Christ will be the only answer, the only intervention. We must know this as truth. We must see this as truth. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 16. See, not only does the prophet Zechariah proclaim the return of Jesus Christ as truth, the very angelic world, the spirit beings of the spirit world, proclaim it as truth as well. We cannot doubt this. We have to realize this, how precious this day is. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 16, it says, "And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned.'" Who is to come? It will take place. How much evidence do we need to see in order to understand this truth of Jesus Christ's return? Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ shall return on this day, the Feast of Trumpets, to reign as King of Kings, to reign as Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. It says here in Revelation 19, verse 11, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You see, Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth." Brethren, this Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ's return. It shall take place. It will take place. You remember back to 9/11. The Sabbath after 9/11, the churches around the nation were packed. I saw friends at church who I hadn't seen in 20 years come to church the Sabbath after 9/11, wondering if that was it. The Bible tells us there will be wars and rumors of wars. But there will come a time in the future where the 9/11 will be it. It will be it. It will be it. And Jesus Christ shall return. This day points to that time. Number two, the Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of the resurrection. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of the resurrection. The power and truth of the resurrection is made no clearer than in the prophesied and fulfilled resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. He set that powerful example. Jesus Christ said that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, and that is exactly what took place as we commemorate during the Passover season. We can look to that example as clear evidence that it shall take place. The truth of the resurrection shall take place. But the Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ was the first of the first fruits to be resurrected. And as Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave, nor shall we. Nor shall we. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. It says here, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ, at his coming." At his coming. When we celebrate, when we commemorate the Feast of Trumpets, we proclaim the truth of the resurrection. It shall take place. It will take place. No doubt. No hesitation. That is a spectacular truth. It is a truth that, again, is simply unbelievable. How could life return into the body of a deceased corpse? How could that take place? How could that be? Will that really happen? Will the saints of God on the Feast of Trumpets truly be given back life? David given back life? Moses given back life? Mr. Armstrong given back life? The great and merciful God allowed ironclad proof of a resurrection to be retained in Scripture. The resurrection back to life of a man that had been dead for at least 4 days, where his body had begun to clearly and obviously decay. That man was Lazarus. You see, Jesus Christ, the truth, said he would resurrect Lazarus. And he did. Jesus Christ said he is the truth. So if Jesus Christ says that we will be resurrected, as sure and as certain as Lazarus was resurrected, we shall be resurrected. It shall take place. I want to take a brief look at the resurrection of Lazarus. As sure and certain proof in the power and desire and truth of Jesus Christ to resurrect us. To resurrect us back to not physical life, as he did with Lazarus, but as we know, clearly understand the truth in Scripture, that Jesus Christ will resurrect us and give us spiritual life. And that after he, on that Feast of Trumpets, gives us spiritual life, that there will be a second resurrection in which physical life, after his return, will be given to the vastness of humanity. And the resurrection of Lazarus can give us hope, can give us truth, can give us insight into that. The resurrection of Lazarus portends and provides a dramatic view into a resurrection made possible by the truth, by Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the truth. I am the truth." And as tremendous as this event was, the resurrection of the saints will be even more powerful, even more spectacular. But let's go over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 17. John 11, verse 17. There's a lot that we can learn here about the truth regarding the resurrection. It shall take place. It shall take place. The Feast of Trumpets points to the truth of the resurrection. It says here in John chapter 11, verse 17, "So when Jesus came, he found that he," speaking of Lazarus, "had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. So So Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." And Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." Your brother will rise again. Do we know that? Do we know that? Do you know that you will rise again? Do you know that? That's why God has given us this Feast of Trumpets. This is the truth. This is the promise that is made to Lazarus as historical and scriptural proof for us. Jesus Christ said, "Lazarus will rise again." I pray that as the saints of God, we are growing to a place where it's not death that we fear, or what happens after death that we fear. Maybe what we go through in terms of health failure, we might fear that. Pain and suffering. Maybe what happens to the state of our loved ones after we die, we might fear. But I pray that we are growing in faith to know with absolution, because of the truth of Jesus Christ, that we shall rise again and we don't have to fear death. Martha knew this intellectually. She knew that her brother would rise again intellectually, but there seemed to be some lack of realization that Jesus Christ was that truth. That Jesus Christ was that resurrection. Because look what it says here in verse 24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." You see, today on the Feast of Trumpets, we celebrate the truth of the resurrection at the last day, made possible by Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection. What powerful truth that the world does not understand. Lazarus, the very close and dear friend of Jesus Christ, was in the grave. He was in the tomb 4 days awaiting his resurrection that would take place at the last day. Stated as fact by Jesus Christ. Confirmed as fact by Martha. And this is such a straightforward truth that the world doesn't understand. Lazarus was not in heaven. Lazarus did not receive his crown yet. Lazarus had not yet been changed. Clear as day in Scripture. How can the whole world think something different? The Christian world thinks something different. But Martha knew that promise intellectually was sure and certain, but the death of her brother was painful. It was sad, it was discomforting as sickness and death invaded his life. But Jesus Christ did not want Martha or Mary to allow the reality of sickness and death to cloud the truth of the resurrection. Nor can we. We cannot allow sickness, we cannot not allow death, we cannot allow war, we cannot allow hatred to cloud the truth of Jesus Christ's return on the Feast of Trumpets and the resurrection. Verse 25, Jesus Christ said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Do you believe this, Martha? Do we believe this? Jesus Christ seemed to sense some level of doubt in Martha. Verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." What she didn't seem to believe was that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Martha's response was not a reply to Jesus Christ's statement where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. She replied intellectually. She replied factually. And she avoided a direct answer to his statement because it wasn't deep within her heart, in her mind. You see, Martha's heart was broken over the loss of her brother. Verse 28, and when she said these things, she went her way and secretly or privately called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. Martha knew of the resurrection, but didn't fully understand, didn't fully believe the truth that Jesus Christ was the resurrection. This Feast of Trumpets points to the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Verse 29. As soon as she, Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not come into town, but was in a place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. Did they not know the power of Jesus Christ? He is the truth. He is the resurrection. Do we know that power? Do we understand that power? By our actions, by our thoughts, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, do we doubt the truth of Jesus Christ? Whether we're facing sickness or we're facing that great C word of humanity today called cancer, and we're facing death itself, we must not doubt the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Verse 34, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again groaned in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. You see, maybe the sorrow of Martha and Mary over the loss, that great loss that they suffered, caused Jesus Christ to also weep. The Bible tells us that death is indeed an enemy, but it seems here that it was doubt in Jesus Christ as truth, doubt in Jesus Christ as the resurrection that likely caused him to groan. They hadn't internalized the fact that the Son of God was with them. Verse 39, Jesus said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. She's probably thinking, you know, Jesus Christ, you're rolling back the stone to see him, to weep, to see your friend last time. You know, you might not want to do that. You might not want to do that. You see, Martha did not understand Jesus Christ was the resurrection. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did not I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God, Martha? What went through Martha's heart and her mind at that instant when he said that? When Jesus Christ turned to Martha and said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? In her mind and heart, she must have thought, oh my Lord God, Is something about to take place? Is it possible? Are you going to? Imagine what rushed through her mind. I can imagine tears instantly beginning to well up in her eyes and overflow her eyelids. Trying to grasp what was taking place. Trying to grasp those words. You see, Jesus Christ is saying the same to us on this day. He is saying the same thing to us. He's saying to us, I am the truth. When I say something, it is. No doubt. No hesitation. God says to each of us on the Feast of Trumpets, the saints of God shall be resurrected. We shall stand up from below. We shall see it happen. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. We should not need a sign, brothers and sisters. It shouldn't be necessary for us. Verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Brethren, on this Feast of Trumpets, if we remain faithful, God shall call your name. God shall call your name if you remain faithful. Perry Wilcox, come forth. Come forth. Won't that be incredible? Won't that be spectacular? Philip Castro, come forth. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that incredible? Brianna Waddle, come forth. We look forward to this day. We anticipate this day. God has recorded this scripture in the Bible for us, this passage for us, to look forward to this day. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. I am the resurrection. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 13. You see, this will take place. This will happen. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Notice here, it doesn't say here that you shouldn't sorrow. Yes, we sorrow. Death is an enemy. But we sorrow with hope. We sorrow with assurance. We sorrow with knowledge that Jesus Christ is the resurrection. For if we believe that Jesus Christ rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, that by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we also be with the Lord. Always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. These are comforting words. there are words that should have given Martha and Mary extreme comfort. Not just intellectual knowledge, not just factual understanding, but internal comfort of the heart. Knowing that Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. It shall take place. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. You see, as sure and as certain as the resurrection of Lazarus was, the same shall be our resurrection. But incredibly, our resurrection shall not be back to physical life. It shall be a resurrection back to spiritual life. Do you believe? Do you know it? Does it sustain you when you're going through tough times, when you're dealing with sorrow, sickness and pain and death? When we're looking at the hatred that's in this world, men who without thought or hesitation will behead another man, a tourist. Jesus Christ is the only answer. He is our only answer. This day points to the time when we'll be resurrected. Spiritual bodies, spiritual minds, spiritual powers to be able to assist Jesus Christ in straightening out the mess of this world and the mess in the hearts and the minds of men. 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It shall take place. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth." And the Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of that resurrection. The absolute truth of that resurrection. Do we believe? Do we believe? These holy days are here to help our belief, to help us stay on that road towards the kingdom of God. Point number three. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth that the ultimate destiny of man is to dwell with the Father in the kingdom of God. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth that the ultimate destiny of man is to dwell with the Father in the kingdom of God, to be a part of the kingdom. Go with me back over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. See, Jesus Christ said here, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is absolute truth that the only way to the Father and our ultimate destiny of eternal life in the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. That's the destiny. That is a message that the world will begin to understand when the Feast of Trumpets is fulfilled. You see, today there are many who believe in likely hundreds of different theories about eternal life. Hundreds of different destinations. Hundreds of different ways to get there. Some believe that when they die in this life, I have a good friend on the job who believes that when he dies in this life, he's coming back as some type of insect. That's his hope. That's what he believes. And after that, he'll come back as something else. And depending on how he lived his life, will determine what he comes back in his next life. Now, that he's thinking he's coming back as an insect, I'm not sure what he's doing in this life. But that's what he believes. The Feast of Trumpets points to the truth. Beginning on this day, on the Feast of Trumpets, it will be made crystal clear that eternal life is made possible by God the Father through Jesus Christ, and that dwelling with the Father in the kingdom of God that shall come to this earth, and us fulfilling and the world fulfilling and individuals fulfilling that role that Jesus Christ has prepared for them, is that ultimate destiny. And then multitudes of other things that God the Father has prepared that he has yet to reveal. The Father will have to be revealed to mankind. The Father will have to be revealed to mankind. You see, the world really doesn't talk about God the Father. The Christian world totally pretty much ignores him. They focus on Jesus Christ and then focus on Jesus Christ's dead mother, Mary. They focus on a lot of other dead saints. What about the Father? The Feast of Trumpets proclaims the truth that the ultimate destiny of mankind is to dwell with the Father in the kingdom of God. You see, Philip, even here in this passage of Scripture here, and likely the majority of the other disciples, did not understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth to reveal the Father. Here in verse 7 it says here, if you had known me, John 14 verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have you been with me so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? That the words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. How can you say you don't understand the Father? Verse 12, for most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. On this Feast of Trumpets, Jesus Christ will, along with us, along with the resurrected saints, begin the process of revealing the Father to the world as we establish the kingdom of God, the principles of God, the way of God on this earth. And won't that be a shock to the world? That we're pointing you to the Father through Jesus Christ. On the Feast of Trumpets, the message of John 6, go with me over to John chapter 6, verse 36. John 6, verse 36. On the Feast of Trumpets, this message here in John 6 will not be given just to the church, but it will be given to the world. the Father, the kingdom, everlasting life is through truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. That knowledge, the understanding that the ultimate destiny of mankind is to dwell in the Father's kingdom. What will be established here on earth? This day points to that time. This message here in John chapter 6, verse 36, will be a message also given to the world at that time. Jesus Christ says here, "But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and no one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Incredible truth for the world. Incredible understanding for the world. That the Father has given this message to Jesus Christ. The Father. Philip, a disciple who was with Jesus Christ, walked with Jesus Christ, dwelled with Jesus Christ, listened to Jesus Christ, said to Jesus Christ, "Show me the Father. I don't understand who he is." Do we understand? Are we preparing ourselves to proclaim the Father? To proclaim the truth? We're in training. We're in training. Verse 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Won't that be incredible? You see, because at that time, all of humanity will have their opportunity to be drawn to Jesus Christ. Only a few today. Only a few today. In the future, there will be a great drawing to the Father through Jesus Christ. A great drawing, a great pulling, a great message, great powers. For the entire world. This is the hope of the world, the hope of all mankind. The only way to the Father, the only way to eternal life, Jesus Christ says, is through Jesus Christ. No other way. Beginning with the Father in the kingdom of God for eternity, being with the Father in the kingdom of God for all eternity is the ultimate destiny. And on this Feast of Trumpets, Jesus Christ shall initiate the proclamation of that truth to the world. You see, it's not through Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Catholicism. It's not through the false Christ that most of the Christian world worships. It is through the only one and true Christ of Scripture that one can come to the Father. We understand that truth from Scripture. The Feast of Trumpets, we celebrate a time in the future when Jesus Christ will be revealed to the world as the Son of God, and he will proclaim to the world the everlasting, forever existing Father, and he shall proclaim with his saints that the ultimate destination is to dwell with the Father in the kingdom of God. What an incredible truth. What an incredible truth. The Feast of Trumpets initiates this tremendous truth by Jesus Christ's direct intervention into the affairs of this world that will lead to the ultimate of ultimates, the establishment of the very kingdom of God on this earth. Do we believe that truth? Do we understand it? Does it motivate us? Let's turn to two last passages. Beautiful passages looking to this time. Go with me over to Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84 in verse 1. Psalm chapter 84 in verse 1. A beautiful psalm here which looks forward to our ultimate dwelling place here on earth in God's kingdom. Psalm chapter 84 in verse 1, it says here, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Is that us? That's what it needs to be for us. That's what it has to be for us. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They shall still be praising you. They shall still be praising you. We must be praising God today on this Feast of Trumpets, sending up praises to Him, singing joyfully songs of glory to our God, who shall come and establish His kingdom on this earth. The final psalm, Psalm 87. Psalm 87. Beginning in verse 1. Another beautiful psalm, looking forward to that ultimate dwelling place here on earth when the kingdom of God is established. It says here in Psalms 87, verse 1, "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon and those who know me, to those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers his people, this one was born there. Both the singers and the players on instruments says, all my springs are in you. All my springs, all of my life, everything is in you." How beautiful, how wonderful. Jesus Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus Christ shall come again on the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ's return. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth of the resurrection. The Feast of Trumpets proclaim the truth that the ultimate destiny of man is to dwell with the Father in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth." How blessed are we to know that truth, to know that wonderful blessed truth that this day proclaims.